Very good to see everybody that was able to come back this afternoon. We have those that are sick, and we've made mention of them, but there are also those that, because of medical conditions, cannot attend on the Sunday afternoon, and we understand that. We do have at least one visitor with us. We want you to know you're a special guest. You're well known by those you're sitting with. We want to meet you. And so we welcome you here. In Ephesians, the first chapter in verse 3, Paul speaks of Jesus Christ and says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing that is through him. And the enumeration of those blessings, I don't know that we really consider everything that is a blessing. I don't know that we can think of it all at one time. I think that we have to really meditate and concentrate upon the blessings that come from the Lord. And sometimes we might leave some out because they're not recognized by us. And what I want to talk about this afternoon with you is contained within the title of this lesson, Thank You, Lord, for our leadership you have appointed us. Congregation is not organized or complete as God has intended for it to be unless there is leadership in the congregation. I'm talking about elders, talking about, we sometimes call them bishops, overseers, shepherds, all those in connection with the work that they do. And that's the way that God intended. And we understand, you know, we go back to Matthew 28 and verse 20, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Part of that is to make sure, part of that teaching that comes from the Lord that we see given to us in Scripture is about recognizing the leaders that are among the congregation. Specifically, as we're going to be looking at, the elders. And giving thanks for them. One thing that I think that sometimes we also overlook is that elders, those that meet the qualifications that are given in 1 Timothy 3, are to be recognized by a congregation. And if men other than that is appointed by a congregation, then they're not truly leaders that God intended for them to be. And what a congregation does is they look at these men, and so often when we look at those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, they've been used by some as exclusion points rather than from the positive. These are what the leaders are to be. And I, in the past, been in business meeting, and by the time that somebody talks about someone that's being considered to be recognized as an elder, you scratch your head and wonder, because of the things that were said, is he even a Christian? Because they look at 1 Timothy 3 from the standpoint of disqualification. Not every man and his family will be able to be recognized by a congregation because they don't have those qualifications that are set forth by the Lord. But those that are, we need to understand, just as Paul addressed the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, chapter verse 28. He says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Elders are not made of men. They are appointed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about some mystical appointment, but rather by those qualifications and the life that they have lived, the examples that they have set forth, the purpose of life that they have lived, which is in accord to those qualifications that are given, such as in 1 Timothy 3 and also in Titus, first chapter verses 5 and following, gives them in that sense an appointment that is not of man but is of God. And so when Paul addressed these elders, he tells them very clearly, and we need to understand very clearly, elders are appointed by the Holy Spirit and not by men. It's not that mystical appointment. And we look down through the things that are listed as far as the qualifications are concerned. A bishop, that is the same thing as elder, pastor, overseer, all those different words in connection with that. Must be blameless, and then we see the rest of that qualifications that is given there. And when he starts out, when Paul starts out with a bishop then must be, it's in connection with what has been given by the Holy Spirit through the Word for a congregation to look at and to recognize those that would serve in that office that is given by the Lord. The local church does not appoint elders. It is obligated to recognize them. I think it is so interesting. Sometimes we forget this aspect even in other principles. And someone relates back to the New Testament or the books of the Bible that we have, and they will say, well, you know, man appointed those books that are in there. No, God, no, man didn't appoint those books. They are there ordained by God. And they are to be recognized. And in the same way, elders are not appointed by a congregation, but they are obligated to be recognized by a congregation. 1 Timothy 5:12 and 13, Paul says, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Now, whenever they are recognized, well, then they are presented before a congregation. And I believe we can use the principle that is described to us in Acts 6 chapter with the choosing of the servants that were to wait on the tables of the Grecian widows that were being left out of the daily provision that was being made. And the apostles there give us, I believe, an example of how that takes place. Because what is given by the apostles, look out among you, 7 men full of the Holy Spirit, of honest report, and so forth, that we may appoint over these matters, and the matters they're speaking about the Grecian widows. And what they did is that they took the qualifications that were given there in connection with those servants, there in Acts 6 chapter, and they used that as the guideline. The same thing stands true with elders today. And the appointment is not by the people, the recognition is by the people. And same thing with the congregation in connection with elders. And a local congregation also recognizes that it is not as God intends to be, a congregation is not as God intends for it to be, without elders. When you look at the end of the first preaching journey of Paul, and of course, Barnabas went with him on that, John Mark for a short, very short period of time, that when they got through with their circuit, going through those regions where they preached, on the way back, then they were appointing elders in every city and every congregation. And that should speak very loudly to people of God, to a congregation. Beverly and I once were with a congregation where we worked, and we first came in, and I told them I'm very interested to see if there are those that are qualified to serve as leaders, elders in this congregation. And one of the brethren told me, he said, well, the last preacher that was here said there's no reason to have elders just for the sake of having elders. I'll agree with that from a standpoint, but I disagree with it as far as the organization that God has ordained. And we see the importance of that even in these new churches that were being established in this area by Paul and Barnabas as they come back through before going back to Antioch of Syria. That there was an importance in that. He came, he preached, he baptized those in this region that heard the word of God, but he did not leave them without leadership. And again, that's an exceedingly important principle that we look at. In Titus 1 and verse 5, we find out that a congregation without elders is actually lacking or wanting. And that Titus was sent to Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. Every city dealing with, of course, as we understand, because of the autonomy of each local congregation, congregations, not over an area, but a congregation. And so we see that we need to recognize these things in order to properly recognize those that have been appointed by the Holy Spirit through their life and their conduct to lead us, to direct us, to shepherd us. And when we do that, we are blessed. Local churches, as God intends them to be, is with elders. And I'll point out to you some of the reasons why. First of all, for spiritual guidance. When we look over in Ephesians 4, chapter 11 through 14, this is during the time in which the miraculous gifts were taking place. And wherever Paul says they're beginning in verse 11, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Because of the context of verse 8, that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men, speaking of Christ Jesus, and that's what took place. That's what took place, wherever Jesus did ascend on high, and it began with the apostles in Jerusalem, Acts, the second chapter, so that they were not speaking of their own mind and of their own will, but rather were speaking by what God's direction was through inspiration. And he says, here's the reason why this is so, that God gave these leaders. He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I will tell you right there, we have a full understanding of what a local church is to do. The work that is involved in a local church. And then he says, till we all come to unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Some has taken this and said, well, that's the end of time. And I don't believe it has anything to do with that. I believe that it has to do with the completed word. When those miracles, those gifts would be no more, there would still be left to Christians God's will in the way that they organize themselves, what they teach, in the way that they fellowship, all in accordance with God's word. And I've made this statement in times past in connection with what we have today and what they had back then. And I will tell you that there was never a miracle that saved anybody. Never happened. And we understand when we look in Mark the 16th chapter, verse 20, that whenever the apostles went out, they confirmed the word that they would teach by those miracles that they performed. Now, what's the difference today? Well, we have the more sure word of prophecy that Peter speaks of in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 20 and following. And we can see all those things fulfilled. And the teaching that took place by inspiration through these that had these miraculous gifts of what it takes in order to be a Christian, we still understand today through the word of God's been delivered to us. It doesn't take a miracle. It's been preserved for us. John had said in the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31 of his gospel, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe, and believing you may have life in his name. The fact of the matter is that beginning at Pentecost, the same gospel that was taught there to make people Christians is the same gospel to be taught today concerning making people Christians. The same gospel that was taught of God's ordained worship there at the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2nd chapter, verse 42, is exactly the same worship that we follow today that they were engaged in. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in the breaking of bread, and in the fellowship, and in the prayers. It's exactly the same thing we do. When we go back and we look at the fellowship of one another, we understand that it was from the standpoint of that which was spiritual that was mentioned there in Acts 2 and verse 42. When we go back and we look at the discipline that was exacted by God, we understand, as we talked this morning, concerning the discipline that is exacted by God, and we are to follow that. So let me just say it very clearly. They don't have anything more than what we did because it's been handed down to us. Now, the transmission of that, starting out, because there was no New Testament that was written, for the very purpose, there was the miraculous gifts. It included inspiration. That's the reason that Paul mentioned in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And they spoke and they wrote by that which was inspiration, but what they delivered is exactly what we follow today. There's no difference whatsoever. And so when we go back and look at that, he says, till we all come in unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a complete man. He's not talking about sinless perfection. He's talking about being complete, so that we make correction when correction is needed. We take instruction when instruction is needed, and so forth. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, exactly the way that Christ conducted himself. I work because my Father has been working, as I am told. That is what I tell you. And then he says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And there you have those that are teaching God's word back at that time, so they would not be carried away with false doctrine. And we have the instructions that keep us from that today, exactly by the same means, and it's the word of God. Transmission different? Yes, we have to open the book. We have to go into it. We have to learn. We have to understand, just as Hosea said to those of Israel, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, God speaking through him, that we should not be destroyed because we have the admonition from the Lord, the exhortation, the teaching, the instruction, the correction. It comes from him. We go to Titus 1st chapter, verse 9 through 11. We also see that elders are put in place because they hold fast the faithful word as they've been taught, and they might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And that's part of the nurturing, the shepherding, the protection of a congregation. And he says, for there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. And he lets them know here, you, in recognizing these Holy Spirit appointed elders in these congregations, you will receive that nurturing from the shepherds that are recognized. Hebrews 13, verse 7, the Hebrew writer says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And it's in a way a pattern that is set forth for us to have that appreciation and fear, and I'm talking about respect and in some sense fear, of God through his word and the way that we are directed. I want to remind you of two passages from the Old Testament. And in talking about leadership and why congregations need to be led by God's plan, that is, with elders. You go back to Numbers, the 12th chapter. In Numbers, the 12th chapter, you have two people that come to Moses. It happens to be Moses' brother and sister, Aaron, the high priest, and Miriam. And they're upset about the woman that Moses had married. And they make this statement, I believe it's in verse 2, that says, has God not only spoke through Moses to this people? Has he not only spoke through us? And what they were saying is that Moses has disqualified himself, as far as our opinion is concerned, by marrying that Ethiopian woman. And God has spoken not only through Moses, but also he's spoken through us. So therefore, we need to reject Moses as being leader and put us in his place. That is Moses and Miriam. And you remember that God speaks to them. He calls them out to the side, speaks to them, and he says, let me tell you about this humble man who's more humble than all others in Israel. He says, wherever I speak to the prophets, I'll speak through dreams and vision. But not so with Moses. I will speak to him face to face as a friend. And when he gets through making his point in connection with that, Miriam is turned into a leper. And she is cast out of the congregation. And the Lord was making a statement there. Don't you question the leadership that I have put in place. Because he was appointed by me. And he needs to be recognized by you. That was so hard for Israel to do, because we go four chapters over to Numbers, the 16th chapter, and there we have Korah and his friends. And Korah comes, and after witnessing all of this with Miriam, who was a leper for 7 days, and then because of the prayers that were offered on her behalf, she was cleansed and let back into the congregation. They witnessing all of that that had taken place, you have Korah and his friends that come before Moses and said, "Who do you think you are? Are not all the children of Israel the called out of God? Are not all of us the holy ones that have been separated by God? You take too much upon yourself." And you remember what was said then by God. After they come back, he tells all the people through Moses for them to separate themselves from Korah and all those that agreed with him. And God made a statement. It was really the same statement that he made to Aaron and Miriam, but in a more dramatic way. He opened the ground. They went down into the abyss, Korah and all his companions, and the ground was closed upon them. And God made statement. The same statement he made to Aaron and Miriam. And when we look at that, we must understand then that all of these things that are done by elders, and I'm not talking about those that take the eldership upon themselves, but that which is appointed by those which are appointed by the Holy Spirit in connection with the qualifications, God is working through them through the Word. And we see that protection as we go on down to Acts 20, verses 29 through 31, is something that we should be so thankful for because we have elders doing this. Acts 20, verse 29 through 31, "For I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter among you, not sparing the flock. Also from your own selves, men will arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember for the space of 3 years, I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." In our class, where we're looking at some of the aspects of Revelation, we made mention this morning that there was a lot that was said about some of these congregations, especially Ephesus. We don't really find much on any others other than Laodicea that was mentioned in the Philippian letter. But we find out a lot about Ephesus. And here the warning has been taking place, and it's not just a one-time warning that was given by Paul. He says, "Day and night I warned you of these things, of the apostasy that is coming from the attacks from without and then also from within. Men that did not keep their first love." Remember that from Revelation 2 and verse 1? And evidently, as we're going to be noting in our study, that spread through the congregation. They didn't keep their first love. And a local church's responsibility, where they have elders, is that they have a responsibility. And we're real good at putting the qualifications upon the elders, but let me tell you what, a congregation that has elders have qualifications and responsibilities that they must adhere to in connection with God's Word. Sometimes that's forgotten. But they have a congregation with elders have qualifications also. First of all, make their work as joy-filled as possible. When we look over in Hebrews 13, verse 17, Hebrew writer says, "Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." Just a couple of points in connection with that. I've heard men come into a congregation where there's already elders and make the point, "Well, I wasn't here when they were appointed, and so I don't have to follow them." If you've placed membership with the local congregation and it has elders, you have already made the commitment that you're going to follow your shepherds that are God-appointed. That's number one. And that's very clear. And then, wherever I look at this last part, let them do that work, that is the elders, let them do it with joy and not grief. And I want to remind you once again concerning Moses and Israel, that there was continual complaining and murmuring, accusations against Moses, and not only against Moses, but also against God. "Why did you lead us out to this wilderness to die? Oh, if we just had the flesh pots of Egypt once again." Absolutely no trust no conviction in their God whatsoever. And the biggest thing, no appreciation. Congregations must appreciate their leadership. One of the qualifications then of that leadership is to make their work a joy. Not continual complaining and murmuring and second guessing. And I will tell you, there are things that come up that are matters of opinion in congregations. And we need to understand that, but we also need to understand that by recognizing these men that are appointed by God, the Holy Spirit, that we have made a statement. We recognize your maturity. We recognize your wisdom. We recognize your knowledge. We recognize that you have the best interest in the congregation. And if we will do that, well, then it will stop the murmuring and complaining and the second guessing. And that's part of the requirement and the responsibility of a congregation toward its elders, that we must do that. We are to give them the proper reverence. 1 Timothy 5, verse 17 through 19, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. There, a congregation has a responsibility that if the elder and his work is nothing more than the spiritual and the teaching of the word, you support him. Monetarily, you support him. You don't pay him, just like you don't pay the preacher. I've often joked, you know, well, I'll set the price on my sermons. Let's see if y'all can afford it. But that, of course, is foolishness. But you support them in that work. And then he says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. And that's a requirement and responsibility of a congregation, where there's not this behind-the-scene backbiting and double-guessing and discontent among members. If you have something to say, say it to the elders, get it out there before them, and don't try to ruin reputations. That's another responsibility. Another responsibility. And that is set there so that those leaders can work in leadership. If they are continually being maligned, well, then they will lose their effectiveness in a congregation. And the reason being is that the membership is turning away from the Lord. And that we hold them to the high standard for their work and the work that it demands. Going on with 1 Timothy 5, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all that the rest may fear. Let me tell you, as an elder, they are representatives of what a Christian should be. We talked a little bit about that this morning, and that there is no deference given to a regular member versus an elder in connection with sin. If they sin, rebuke, and do it before all, so that others may fear also. Their work, 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 4. And here you have an elder that is speaking to the work of elders. This is Peter the apostle. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I also am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock. And that entails everything that a shepherd is. When you go back and look again, you have that protection, you have that correction, you have that instruction, you have the rod and the staff that the psalmist speaks of course. You have all of that there, and that they serve as overseers. In other words, they exercise oversight. And whenever that takes place, it is not the whims of the congregation, but rather it is in accordance with God's will that the oversight is exercised. And then he says, being examples to the flock. It's not to be for money, but examples to the flock of what the Lord would have a Christian to be. And then he says concerning them in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And there he's speaking to those that are shepherds. It's awesome responsibility. It lays heavy on the heart and on the mind of those that serve as elders. And we need to recognize that. It is stressful in many situations. But again, you and I have that responsibility of making it as joy-filled as possible. That we, what we do is we volunteer freely whenever we are given direction by the Lord, by the elders rather. That we are ready to serve. That we are ready to edify one another by the examples that are given forth to us. So, I end this lesson. Let's be thankful for them and to tell them so. I think sometimes we may wonder why elders don't preach this lesson. And they have the right to preach this exact lesson, but their character demands that we preach it and that we thank them. And so let us be thankful. Let's be thankful for the leadership that we have. What a wonderful thing that comes from the Lord, so that we are not left to wander, not left to be tossed to and fro, not left to be voting and to be quibbling among ourselves. But we have leadership from God. It's a blessing. It's a great blessing. Let's be a blessing to them and by extension to the Lord. Maybe those here this afternoon that are not Christians, and you're not under the leadership that you should be. You may be under the leadership of men, ideas, thoughts of men, but if you're not a child of God, you're not under the leadership of God, of Christ Jesus. So hear his words, be baptized for remission of your sins, and then live a life that is in servitude to him. Just as Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 20, no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live now, I don't live by the flesh, but by my trust in him. Maybe you've not been living the way that you should if you are a Christian. Let me tell you, there is a loving group here that is ready to pray with you and for you and to help you in any way that we can. If there are those that need help, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.